Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 68 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Tonight I have a couple of very special friends that we've recently become very well acquainted as believers, and I've known these two. I've actually known Eric for about 2 years now.
Yeah.
Here in Boquete. This is Eric and Cecilia. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hello, Andrew. Good evening.
Nice to be here.
Nice to be here.
This is going to be an interesting program. I knew Eric as the one of the guys, two guys in the cooler.
That's right.
As a chef, and you prepared ready meals and at the Boquete little gringo market.
Yeah, we cooked frozen dinners for those who missed the type of food that they were accustomed to back home.
Or for those who just didn't want to make their own food.
That's right. So you guys have a really interesting business here. And what's really interesting is that someone came to me the other day and said, "Hey, you know, you really ought to talk with Eric, man. He's really fired up for the Lord, you know." And I go, "Wow. That's pretty cool."
The Lord has done some wonderful and magnificent things in our life here here recently since we've completely devoted our life and surrendered ourselves to His will. But really, it starts back in the States. The journey started back in the States. And as Cecilia can attest, we had a very difficult journey, as probably most do. I was a regional manager, district manager of a international chemical organization. Spent most of my time in airports and spent most of my time in hotels. And Cecilia found the Lord quite early, about 19, right, babe? 19 years old, give or take?
Yeah, I guess.
And she found the Lord early and stayed at home with our son. So our son was born, I was out on the road working, and she had an opportunity to really devote some time to the Lord in studying, while I had an opportunity to devote some time to the world. And it showed. Everything that we did was almost opposite of what we needed to be doing. I was around all the wrong people in all the wrong places, doing all of the wrong things. And every time I came home after a week of work, we noticed that we at best were acquaintances now rather than a married couple. And the Word of God didn't pass my ears. To me, they were more bullet points or you know, phrases used to sort of keep me in check. What would you say about that, honey?
It was just very, I'm sure, just dry for you growing.
Well, I think after it was all said and done, we had a very difficult journey. We ended up becoming very separate as the world took hold of me and the job took hold of me. We started making more money. I started making more money. We started buying more things. And we ended up in a place of what I thought was financial security.
Really, it was just in bondage to a lot of things.
That's exactly what it was. I later realized that financial security didn't mean tons of debt. It's a funny thing how you end up making more money, but we ended up having a lot of debt, an incredible amount of debt. And so we started to pay it off a little bit at a time, and it didn't really matter because the next new thing would come out and I would jump on top of it, and Cecilia would be there to express her valid points as to whether or not we needed it. But I didn't hear that. I was somewhere completely different. And it's as if we lived together, but we weren't married. We most certainly weren't the type of married couple that God wanted us to be. And that went on for many, many years. That went on for probably about 12 years, 12, 13 years. And it just progressively got worse and worse and worse. But the Lord is patient. And He taught Cecilia patience through that process. Why did you even stay with me?
Well, I did love you. I do love you. I don't know. Like, I definitely had, you know, my own personal journey of just life being a wreck. So when I learned, you know, truth in the Bible and I proved it to be true, I clung to the things that it said because I knew that I could trust it.
And it's interesting what you were talking about a little bit ago, that there were scriptures that would come to your mind and you would hang on to it, you know, that you believed that your husband would be saved through your perseverance of hanging on, not quitting. You know, the scripture we talk about, that, you know, you shall reap if you faint not, you know. And many times I see many people in marriages, they get to that point where they just throw in the towel and they quit. And they don't reap because they faint. And something, I guess, there's another scripture you mentioned too that helped you hang on in those times when many people quit. And I see many people, their breakthrough is just around the corner and they quit just before, you know, they reap. And you guys are an incredible testimony because of what you've gone through as a couple to not only be married and have an incredible relationship right now that you work together. You know, I find one of the hardest things for marriage couples to do is to work together.
Of course.
More problem because you're around all the time. But you, there's something that you caused you to endure, you know, your children. What are some of the things that really helped you hang on? Because I know there's people out there listening right now that can relate to you because they don't have a saved husband, or their husband's into the things of the world, or maybe the other way around. Maybe the husband's listening right now and his wife he wants to pursue God with all of his heart, but his wife wants to pursue the things of this world. How does that two couples, how can you encourage somebody that a miracle can actually happen?
Well, there's not a whole lot of things you can really trust in this world. I do believe you can trust the word of God, and I've proven that to be true. You know, there's a Bible verse that talks about that an unbelieving spouse would be won by the obedience of the wife, and that by her conversations, those things, you know, just to continue, and like you were saying, faint not. But also there was another one, because my children are very dear to me, and, you know, I've always put them first. There's another Bible verse that talks about if an unbelieving husband is willing to stay with a believing, you know, wife, then you should stay so your children would be sanctified. And I just clung to those two things.
And let me tell you, that's difficult. This is you're looking at almost an impossible challenge for someone who loves God with all of their heart, all of their mind, and all of their soul, and who wants to walk in the way of the Lord, but has a spouse who is of the world, much like we were. Because what we have is, you have someone who wants to walk righteous, in this particular case it was my wife, versus someone who wants to do whatever they want. And so that's satanic. And in our situation, every time the righteousness would present itself, it would offend the worldly side of me. So it would make me want to tear down that righteous behavior, which, as you can imagine, and it leads to fights and bitterness and silence. And eventually what happens is you have two people that sort of pull away from each other. You're still married, sort of. You now have one person who is following Christ silently and another person who is living in the world. But the gifts that we're supposed to be receiving as a married couple are far from us, because we haven't done our job. The head of the household is supposed to take charge. And I didn't learn about this later because, listen, I grew up Catholic. And as a Catholic, you know, if the church doesn't tell you that this is the way it is, then that's not the way that it is. And that was hard to shake off the first several years of our relationship, especially when she talked about the Holy Father. We now realize that's very different, but there's a lot of these old traditions that had to be shaken off. And once we got Catholic out of me, well, then we started to look at other churches and realize that even in these other churches, unless the couple together is walking in the way of the Lord, the way that it's designed by God, you're never going to grow. We were never going to grow. We were always going to be in that exact same place. Finally, and I would have to say probably 5 years before we came to Panama, you started nudging on the idea of wanting to get out of the United States. Bad feeling about it. Didn't like the way that it was going. This was probably...
I felt like it was destroying us.
Was it Bill Clinton era? George Bush era? 9/11 maybe? I can't remember when it was. But I remember thinking every time you would talk about wanting to leave the United States, I would always think how easy that must be to say, because I'm the one making the cash. And, you know, you're just staying at home reaping from my hard work. And little did I know how wrong I was about that. But that's what I was thinking. And so I always dismissed it. And I realize now that just not listening to her, not listening to you, is disrespectful. And it doesn't really honor you at all. So it's kind of an overview and an example of where we were. I never took you seriously enough to at least consider your opinion about wanting to move. I was too busy thinking about myself. And that was the general idea of what, and that went on for quite some time. Eventually, she stopped talking about it, and I would always make fun of it. So, you know, belittle it. And which there you go. That's another example. This isn't how couples should be towards each other. If anything, we should be one against the world. And no matter what happens, the world should come second. No matter what. The job should come second, right? The friends should come second, no matter what. And in our relationship, the job came first, and friends came first, and everything else came first. But when it came to our relationship, well, that was the last thing on my mind. And through a miracle are where we're now, because it took a lot of we had to heal. There was a lot of healing that went on.
You know, one thing that I found, the difference in that healing process in my own personal life, my family's life, took place once we left the States. That something dramatic took place in our lives. Instead of just being ships passing in the night, everybody doing their own thing, the kids have their own friends, and everybody's going different directions like it was in the States, all of a sudden we gelled as a family.
Sure.
And we had to actually... we had to actually, you know, talk things over, talk things out. I mean, finding out that there's jealousies between one child and the other, and hurts and offenses. I remember sitting on the back porch of our home once we moved to Panama, and we spent 3 solid days just talking things out and just
exactly
letting the, you know, ripping the band all the covered up band-aids, you know, covering up these wounds that were festering underneath our kids and my wife and myself, and just realizing that we are all we have. And when you're in the States and you have so much all around you all the time, there's always somebody else, someplace else, something else to fill the void that's really in the home.
Yep.
With the stuff in the world. And when you leave and you leave your friends, you forsake all, literally.
There's that's right.
Nothing else that you've got but each other.
Well, when we finally made the decision, I remember calling Cecilia. I was in a hotel in Oklahoma City, and it's interesting because our decisions to leave were completely different. Cecilia wanted to leave because she felt like she was being called out. She felt she saw the impending destruction of the United States, the dollar, and the judgment that was going to come. Well, not only on the U.S. but of the world, and wanted to get out of it. She wanted to flee Babylon, as it says in Revelation. And me, on the other hand, I was just frustrated with all the demands that my ridiculous job had on me. I was tired of staying in hotels. I was tired of eating by myself. I was really tired. At this point, I was fed up of the life that I had, that I felt like I was forced to live by myself. The real word is that I chose to live by myself. So now I was living this life by myself, and I was tired, and I was ready to leave too. So it's just interesting how everybody is called out for their own unique reasons. But and even then, even saying, hey, I want to leave. I finally made the decision. Let's go ahead and do this. The biggest sigh of relief came upon Cecilia. And I said, okay, we're going to give ourselves 2 years. Okay. We're going to give ourselves 2 years.
Prematurely.
And it was a struggle. We had to compromise. And even then, we settled on 1 year. But Cecilia was ready at that moment. I could have said, let's get a plane ticket today, and we would have been gone.
I don't think I stopped nudging you for an early leave up until like the week before we were scheduled to leave. I was like, let's just go.
I think you said, I think if we had to make some concessions. I said, okay, look, if Iran and the U.S. go to war, or if Iran and Israel go to war, we leave immediately. Like, there was these certain triggers that I had to agree with, and I didn't have any problem. I think deep down I really wanted to leave because I knew that I knew that I didn't like the life that I was living. There was something about me that just didn't want that life anymore, that was tired and sick of the darkness. And I knew that there was a better way. Still have not studied the Word, still not got into the Bible. You know, people use phrases like seek ye the kingdom first. Didn't mean a thing to me at that time. It was completely irrelevant. It was because I didn't have a relationship with God. I knew about Him, but I didn't know anything about Him. And so to me, He was an untouchable, unreachable, almost a mythical character. You could have put Him in the same category of Zeus for someone like me. And I can only imagine that many people probably feel the same way depending on how they grew up. And it wasn't until we really left and I thought, hey, great, we get to leave the States and we're going to leave all our problems behind us. So we're going to start new. We're going to have a new place. We're not going to have any of the baggage that came with us. Well, guess what? Wrong. Wrong. It follows you.
You took your baggage with you, huh?
It was hiding right in the suitcase, and it came out. And the first 3 years, we call it the Great Purge, where we not only had to get rid of the bad habits, but we had to deal with the hurt that we had had over the last 15 years of marriage. And it wasn't only through understanding that we each had our own responsibility within that hurt, and we had to take accountability for it and call it what it was. And what it was Satan toying and destroying our relationship at the very fiber, because he knew the power that God would have when a couple is walking the way that he wants us to walk. And once we finally surrendered, we finally threw our hands up and said, you know what? That 1 year of planning, we wanted to save up a lot of money. We wanted to get ready so we can be all financial. And we did. We saved up a ton of money. And we put up a couple pennies. And we finally got to Panama. And guess what? The Lord took it right away. And he took it in only a way that he could. But after it was all said and done, he took it away from us. And he forced us to look at him and to start to trust in him. And that was the first step, trusting in him. And once we started to trust in him, it's as if our hearts were, or mine more so, was opened up and softened, and his word became alive and his word became real. And I heard his voice the other day for the first time. Heard his voice, and he actually spoke to me, and that freaked me out. It did. It really freaked me out. I thought, how cool is that? Like, I really did. I thought how neat that was. So he is real.
Yes. You know, when I got down here, of course, when you forsake all, when you come to a foreign country with suitcases and you sell everything you own or give it away, you know, and you go to a foreign country where you don't know the language and you don't know anybody, you're in a place of desperation. And in this place of desperation, when I got here, my cry out to God was, God, if you don't feed me, I'm going to die. And he said, good, now you're where I want you. And this is why I realize now, when he says, unless you forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. Because, it's in Luke chapter 14, because this is where you finally get to a place where you will cry out to him and he can feed you. See, as long as you're full, you can't be fed. And our problem is we just get so full with the world and all the things of this world that God can't feed us if he wanted to, because we're so full. And, you know, the world, and the Lord gave me a word one morning, and he says, the world has a grip on many. And he said, you must let go of it for it to let go of you, because it literally has a grip on you. But the only way to the world to release you is to let go of the world. And most people's hands are so filled with stuff is that there's no place for God to fill our hands with what he has for us, because they're full. You have to lay it down. You have to put it down. You have to empty out your hands. And in that place where you empty yourself out, that's when God says, now I can fill you. Now I can feed you. And that's when he begins to speak to us. We can recognize his voice, because now we're hungering for him, because we're desperate. You know, that's the point of crying out.
Oh, yeah.
That most people never get to, because they don't need to. And that's a sad testimony, I believe, of the United States right now, and the Church of the United States, is that they've had things so good for so long, is that they've really never had to depend upon God. And mostly people have never been outside the United States to see what another place is like.
Well, I'll tell you that I thought moving out of the country was going to be difficult. And you got to talk about an emotional struggle of leaving a job where you're at the top of your game, making more money than you've ever made in your life, and everybody looking at you like you're absolutely insane. I thought that was difficult. Letting go of the world was remarkably difficult from the perspective of truly understanding how much the world had a grip on me. And we all know, listen, either you love the world or you love God. And you don't want to be an enemy of God. And that's what loving the world is. So for us, the process of letting go of the world in the beginning was a lot of justification, a lot of justifying of, no, this isn't of the world. We can keep that. We can keep a little bit of that. Don't worry about that. That's not going to rise the loaf. You know, that yeast is good for the bread. And then realizing after it's all said and done that if we truly want to be a disciple, if we want to be for God, and if we want to be light, and if we want to be salt, we can't have any of that. And once that was placed on our heart, actually letting go of the world became very easy. Yes. Because the priority shifted. It's no longer, what am I going to do with my free time? Let me go watch some films or go have some beer or go smoke or whatever. Now it's going to be, let me read about the Word of God. Because that's, I'm hungry now. I'm starving, and I haven't eaten, and it's time to eat. So I can imagine. How'd you feel during that process? Was it amazing?
I loved it. I loved it because, you know, we really began to just grow fast, and I think God just showed himself to us mighty through just us forsaking and stepping in line and coming into obedience. So that it was just fantastic.
And that's what I noticed, how fast the Holy Spirit doesn't mess around. He's serious. And when the Holy Spirit said, okay, when you finally say, I'm ready, the Holy Spirit is ready to go. It's as if they're strapped on with the foot on the pedal, but their emergency brake's on, and they're just waiting for you to say, let's do this. And as soon as we said, let's do this, motion started to happen. Our lives immediately started to be blessed and in a way that was even greater than when we weren't where we needed to be. And that's how amazing our Father is. Our son, who's a young adult, started to show changes that were remarkable. And as a family, we started to sink and meld together. And the cares, the worries that we had when we left the States, how are we going to provide for ourselves? What are we going to do? Language wasn't an issue, but all of the other concerns no longer became concerns. I truly now understand what it means to seek the kingdom first, because before you even know you need it, he's got it there waiting for you. And you think to yourself, wow, I used to think, how lucky am I? How lucky, how coincidental is this? But now I look up and thank God, because I know where it comes from.
You see his fingerprints on almost... This is the way I see it almost daily now, is that there's just divinely coordinated events. I run into people here, and I just, oh, that was a divine appointment, and this and that. Just, it's just amazing to watch this happen on a daily basis now when you have actually come to a point where you don't want to live for yourself. You really want to hear God's voice more than anything else in the world. You want to be obedient to what he wants to do. And I know this is you guys... have had, even since the last 2.5 years since we came here and I first met you, what a transformation that I've seen in your life over the last just year even.
I can imagine.
So, I mean, because you, if you are a torch, you're at 5 million candle power right now.
Sure.
Shining right now because...
Well, you without even knowing it, saw me at my lowest that I've ever been in my life. You saw me struggling with incredible substance abuse that you never know. But you saw it. You saw it, and I didn't have to say anything about it. And through that period of change, that last purging period of the devil saying, hey, you can do this, and you can do this, and our Father saying, you don't want to do that because I got something better for you. I want you to be on this team. And you know, it reminds me what the power of God and his miracles and prayer, where we were living just prior to Boquete, we thought it was an answered prayer. It really wasn't. It was a hastily decision. We thought we would move in with an unequally yoked landlord. And it turned out to be quite disastrous. It was from the very beginning, it was bad. And we ended up spending a lot of money that we didn't need to spend. And it was part of the reason why we ended up where we were. But right at the very end, when everything came to a head, we had 2 weeks. We were given 2 weeks to find a new place to live and 2 weeks during the high season. So a lot of tourists are in town. It's a very difficult time to find a new place to live, especially here in Boquete. And Cecilia prayed to the Father. What did you pray for? You prayed for a home, and you prayed for certain very specific things that you thought would help our growth. It would help our, you know, lack of distractions and the type of house that she wanted and the type of yard that would that accommodate
it was
several
really
dogs.
Just kind of like an emergency prayer in the kitchen, because she had just told us we had 2 weeks to get out, and we're kind of at we don't have hardly any money left, so the thought of moving is overwhelming. And we just huddled up as a family in the kitchen and prayed
for the first time.
Just, you know,
for the first time
as a family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just prayed for God to, you know, help us find a place, or, you know, just provide for us, because we were desperate.
Now that
and
day
really came through.
That day was a market day. And at the market, I happened to run into a customer who I just happened to mention that we were looking for a place to live. And this was our price range. Well, he, in that conversation, told me he was living in a four, it was a single man. He was living in a four bedroom, two bathroom house. And he happened to be leaving in 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks, it was going to be available.
He let us start moving stuff there immediately.
And the house, which was God's blessing, it was God's gift to us, fit every single aspect of the prayer. Without fault. And it has since been the most magnificent place of growth for us and our family. It's been amazing.
Well, we had a real delightful time getting together and have dinner with you guys the other night. And it's just amazing, because you're just one more family that God has brought here, almost like a piece of a puzzle that he's putting together right now of believers that are solid, that are sold out. And it's been just a great treat to get to know you, this side of you.
Thank you, yes. The other side you wouldn't have liked so much.
We just have just a short time here. We got about a minute or so left. But you guys are a great encouragement, just of hanging it, perseverance, of not letting go, and believing God and trusting God in the midst of the trial.
Yeah.
And it's an awesome testimony.
And we feel like, honestly, we're just getting started.
Well, you are. I guarantee you, I'll tell you that from the Lord. You are just getting started. You ain't seen nothing yet of what God's going to
yes.
do.
Yes. Amen.
But thank you guys for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a real treat. And I look forward to see what God's going to do with all of us together, because I know we're all just pieces of the puzzle that God's using, and is going to touch people, many lives here in Panama. So thanks again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength with the number 4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.